Good morning again. If you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open up to the book of Galatians. We're going to continue our study going verse by verse through Paul's letter. This is God's word, and we as his people should hear it and receive it as the very words of God. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone, and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the grace and freedom of the gospel. Father, we thank you that you have done for us what we could never have done for ourselves. Father, we thank you that you have loved us. And you have loved us from a beginning that never begins. From eternity past, you have loved us. You have set your affection upon us and made us your people. Lord, we thank you for the high privilege it is, the salvation that you have given and the blessings that come alongside it and flow from it. Father, we ask this morning that you would speak. Speak so loud and clear that we would hear you amidst a world of distractions and a mind that is cluttered and tired. We ask that you would give us focus, that you would give us reception to what you are saying, because we desperately need you. So come and have your way in us. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer, and our Savior, and all God's people agree. Amen. What's the heaviest thing you've ever lifted? You don't have to say it out loud. But think for a moment, humor me. What is the heaviest thing you have ever lifted? Perhaps it's a dresser that needs to go three stories up. Or a couch that you must pivot to get it up the stairs. Perhaps it's weight in a gym. Weight that your legs must push or your arms must carry. Those are physically heavy things. What's the heaviest emotional burden you've ever carried? What's the longest spiritual burden you have ever carried? Perhaps you're still carrying. When we think in the physical realm of heavy objects, we can be proud of the strength we exerted to push such weight, to place such a dresser. How far did you have to carry that burden? How long did your fingers have to grip the handle, the drawer, the corner, the leg? When you lifted heavy things in your life, did you do it by yourself? Did you have a partner? Did you have someone else to bear the load together? How much did you struggle? How long did you rest between struggles? If we share the load, everyone who has moved a household's worth of goods knows that if we do it together, even extremely heavy objects can become bearable and movable we can indeed carry these objects together. Now, when I moved as an adult, and I've done it a couple of times, I always think in terms of rhinos and rabbits. This might sound silly to you, but I think of rhinos who are large, bearing weight animals. I think of them in their mass and in their strength and in their speed. And I think, who are the big guys that I need to carry these big objects? And then along with that, I don't want the big guys who are carrying the big objects, because in my former years, I was one of them, to be carrying lots of tiny loads. That's where the rabbits come in. It's where my 9-year-olds or 15-year-olds are super helpful, because we can burden them with bags, even if we cannot couches. I need my rhinos. I need my rabbits. Need those who will make lots of trips back and forth. Tiny things, but there's a lot of them. And heavy things. And though they are few, they require a different skill set, a different ability. Now, certainly I've known some rhinos who will overpack themselves with rabbit carry. We're grateful for them too. But the reality is, we understand burdens to some degree or another. All of us have had, or have, or will soon have burdens of various kinds, of various weights, requiring different numbers of trips back and forth. So when I think about these heavy objects, couches or dressers, that I have lifted with others, there are times where I was pretty proud. There are times where I was very proud. Sometimes I felt like the ancient gods must have felt if they had existed. I could lift the whole world. By God's grace, that's no longer true of me. My back will go, my knee will yank, my shoulder won't lift. This body is not going to do it, at least not how it used to. But I can remember at the height of my powers and the depth of my strength that there was no weight in a move that I thought was greater than what I could bring. Have you been there? Those who are strong among us? Have you seen a dresser or a couch and thought, I got that? And it didn't intimidate you, even if halfway moving it, you got a little nervous about that gig. Mike, right? Yeah, we're there. Harold? Steve? Yeah. We know we can do it. We just don't want to set it down. We like to move them once, not three times, unless our fingers say otherwise. Why does this matter? It matters because we know how to share loads in certain circumstances. It matters because even large things become bearable, but they are not bearable indefinitely. There's a point at which we get to put the couch down, yes? And the dresser goes in its rightful place. We need not bear that load any longer. Even the rabbits get to take a break, yes? Until the next time there are smaller weighted items that can be collected and distributed to where we go. But no matter how strong you are, no matter how fast and efficient you become, you can't bear most burdens indefinitely. No matter how strong you are, you can't do it forever. The second thing I think about when I think about burdens and moving is that I always want to know where this is going before I pick it up. I want to know, is this a second floor thing? A first floor thing? Is it far? Is it long? What are the corners like? Where is it narrowed? What's my bottleneck? What's my battle plan? But one of the most essential things to think about when you think about the burdens you carry is that they must have a rightful place. They need a destination. You need to know not just that you can lift it, that you can move it, but you need to know where to take it. Where are we to carry it to? Does that make sense? So when we think about this chapter, and especially verse 2 here, I want us to ask the simplest of kindergarten level questions. Now, many of you might think kindergarten is far beneath me, but somebody made a lot of money telling us that all we need to know in life we learned in kindergarten. So let me ask 5 simple questions to outline where we're going today. The first, who? It's not a hard one. What? Why? Where? How? Who? What? Where? Why? How? And let's answer them. I don't always give you the answers to the test up front. Sometimes I torture you along the way. Save the big pow for the end. Here's the simple question with its tiniest simple answer. Who? You who are spiritual, according to verse 1. You who are spiritual, those who have the Holy Spirit. Second, what? Bear one another's burdens. That's the command. What's the command? The command is to bear one another's burdens. Third, why? To fulfill the law of Christ. That's why. To fulfill the law of Christ. The next two come from different places outside this passage, but certainly are congruent with it. Where? Where are we to take these burdens? All the way to Christ. All the way to Jesus Christ. And we'll see that in Psalm 55, verse 22. And also, how? How do we bear these burdens? We who are spiritual, who want to do the what of bearing one another's burdens in order to fulfill the law of Christ and take these burdens where they belong, all the way to Christ. How do we do it? The first, through self-denial. As Matthew teaches us, pick up our cross and follow Jesus Christ. And second, through the ministry of prayer and the word. And we'll see those two come out of other letters from Paul and also other places in this particular letter. So let's recap it. Who? You. You who are spiritual. What are we to do? Bear one another's burdens. Why do we do this? To fulfill what Paul calls here the law of Christ. And how do we do that? Through self-denial and self-sacrifice, through welcomed inconvenience as we pick up our cross and follow him, and through the ministry of prayer and the word. You guys ready? That's where we're going. So who? Verse 1. You who are spiritual. You who have been given and are sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. How awesome and amazing that God himself lives and dwells and abides in you as you live and abide in him. Jesus is the one who said, It is better, on the eve of his crucifixion, it is better that he goes, that we would have the spirit of the resurrected Christ. And what are we to do? It does not get more simple in Scripture than single sentence commands. Bear one another's burdens. Whose burdens? One another's. Do you see that there is a unity in the description? That there are a people for whom you do this. There's a people who are called to do it, and there's a people who are called to be alongside receiving this labor alongside you. Bear one another's burdens. And then the why. So we fulfill the law of Christ. And I know that might be new language for some of us. What is the law of Christ? I thought Jesus gave the original law. He did. Did he update it? No. He clarified it so we could understand it. What was always true was getting lost. So he brought it in a way that we could receive and understand even greater. Not that there was something lacking in the law as given, for we know that it is good. But through the law, we who are fallen die. So what is this law of Christ and how are we to fulfill it? Well, let me give it to you as simply as I can. If you trust Christ, if you are a follower of Christ, then you will fulfill his law of love. You will. Remember what came a chapter before this. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. What kicks off this list of virtues? Love. Then joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. How are we to understand this purpose of bearing one another's burdens? Well, we who trust Christ, who are given his Spirit, will be drawn. We will be carried into moments and circumstances, situations and relationships where we sacrifice, where we receive the opportunity of inconvenience and extend practical, physical, relational, emotional, and yes, spiritual partnership, unity, sharing. It will be inconvenient to follow Christ at times, yes? Oh, so most of you are not in a season of inconvenience? Are you willing to be inconvenienced? In your week? In your month? How often? What are the limits? Are you willing to be convenienced more for some than for others? Who are you willing to be inconvenienced for at any hour of any day, of any week? Who are you allowed to let yourself be inconvenienced for on alternate Thursdays or every decade or so? You know you have relationships that you are afraid of inconvenience. Yes? Are you willing to sacrifice time, effort, money, patience? When? For whom? In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, Jesus tells his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Why the cross? It's too big a question, right? Why is it that before Jesus' crucifixion, He commands those who would be his students, those who would be his disciples, those who would be his followers, to carry a Roman executionary device. We read that so easily, right? We're like, yeah. Just pick up my cross and walk. I got it. Do you? Do you really understand the significance of carrying a singular purposed object of death filled with shame, sign of guilt and criminality, and also a heavy object? Sure, Jesus was beaten, right? Before he was crucified, so maybe the walk up the hill is more about the whipping than it is the weight of the beam he carried, but it was so heavy and he so unable that that beam given to another to carry in his stead. The cross is agonizing not just because of the intensity of the burden, but also because of the duration of the prolonging unto death. So if you're one of Jesus' disciples and you're hearing him say this, what's your takeaway? Do you just nod? Okay, teacher. Yes, Lord. You're the master. You're the boss. Do you pull aside your friends and whisper, Pete, do you understand what he's saying? No, I don't have a clue. Okay, me neither. Should we ask Nathaniel? Yeah, Nathaniel usually knows. Let's ask. Right? Can you imagine them in this moment trying to figure out what Jesus is saying and how he's preparing them to be the apostles of the church? It's not that the words were vague. It's that the meaning is so profound and enduring. I love the verse in Luke's gospel where the Holy Spirit comes and enlightens their minds so that they can understand it all. Lord, continue to do that in me. When we think about burdens and self-sacrifice and self-denial, these are not unjoyous burdens. This is not brute force ministry. This is a spiritually enabled task. Spiritually enabled work. So what are the types of burdens that we are being commanded here in Galatians 6 to carry? To carry for and with one another. I'll list four categories. There's probably more, but I'll give you four. Spiritual burdens. Emotional burdens. Relational burdens. And yes, physical burdens. Why do we bring meals when we have babies added to families? Why do we do that? We do it great, y'all. I'm telling you, we do this great. Kimberly, thank you for all your efforts to coordinate. Church fam, thank you for the meals that I have received and the thanks that I don't deserve that I've been given on behalf of you. For the amazing execution of carrying out compassion in a time of difficulty or exhaustion. So yes, we carry spiritual burdens, emotional burdens, relational burdens, physical burdens. And these come from Mark 12, verses 30 and 31, where we are told to love the Lord our God with what? All of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. Yes, 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 yes. These are spiritual, emotional, relational, physical expressions of the deeply powerful and enabling presence of the Holy Spirit working your salvation out in community with others, for others. We've talked about that. So what are these burdens, perhaps? Everyone in this room is carrying some of these now, or has before, or will sooner than you want. Burdens of sin, burdens of sadness, burdens of guilt, burdens of worry, or sorrow, anxiety, grief. Are you getting stressed just as I list them? Me too. Where do these burdens come from? Where are they to be found? They might be found in our families, might be found in our work or workplace. They might be found in our schools and classrooms, offices. Might be found in the community at large, amongst the homeless, amongst the burdened. Some of these burdens are small, and you do rabbit work. You come alongside, you do a simple thing, you bring it over quickly, you're in the moment passes, the burden is carried, and the need expires. Some of these burdens are huge. They make dressers look like nothing. Some of the burdens are too big for two to carry, or three, or five. Some require a whole church, or many churches, or maybe the whole expression of the body of Christ on planet Earth at any given moment. Some of these burdens are deeply personal and private. Some of them, while personal, are very, very public burdens. Who? You. What? Bear these burdens. Why? Fulfill the law of Christ, which is the law of love. But where do we take our burdens? I know you know the answer. You know what I'm going to say. But do you live it? You know the answer to the quiz. If I pop quizzed you, 90% or better is what I would expect from this room. But does your life illustrate the same knowledge that your lips can profess? Where do we take our burdens? We take our burdens all the way to Christ because we need a destination for them. It is not enough to cry together. It is not enough to pop corks together. It is not enough to live solely disconnected in this world from the invisible world and the coming kingdom. We need to find a place where the burdens are to be taken and left. Sometimes I watch you. I watch you come into church. Watch you come into this room. I watch you sing. It's delightful. I watch you listen, even tired or distracted. I watch you often engage in an assessment of the burdens you feel, lifting them up to the Lord and saying, "Help, here." But I also watch you sometimes, after lifting it to the Lord, packing it back up and taking it out the doors with you. I watch you asking the Lord to see and change, not waiting for a response, not showing your need for help. Most of y'all love to help others. For some of y'all, the receiving of help from others, near impossible. Because you don't want to be the vulnerable one. You want to show the love of Jesus. But Jesus wants you to receive the love he's showing you. We must be a people who graciously give and humbly receive the gifts of the Lord, the gifts and the sharing of these burdens. And that is why we have a destination and we go there together, but we go there together for renewal, for refreshment, for strength, for relief, so that the burdens that Christ paid for 2,000 years ago on the cross, claiming ownership of them, can be released into his careful care. Listen to this promise from Psalm 55. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. You may stumble, you may fall, but you do so on the solid foundation of Christ. So we are to take our burdens to the Lord, and we are to lay them upon the Lord. I know that we sort of in church life today say, go to the cross and put it at the foot of the cross. I like that image, but I like this one better. Lay your burdens on the crucified shoulders of Jesus Christ. Don't just put it before him. He died so that it would be on him. The wrath of God poured out upon him in our stead. And the truth is, as your pastor and friend, I am not strong enough to be the resting place for your burdens. But I know the one who is strong enough, the eternal one who has come and made himself known to us. He has promised that he will sustain the burdened one. So speak your burdens, share what is true in your life, and may this be a place where there's no more pretending, no more fake it till you make it. Matthew 11, verses 28 and 30. You know this verse. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. May the many hands of faith carry our burdens with us to place them upon our Savior. So how do we cast these burdens on the Lord? It's one thing to say there's a destination. It's another to say how we arrive there. I believe we arrive there by prayer and by the ministry of the word. And before you say, of course he says that. He's the pastor. Going to have a religious answer for me. He's going to use that religious jargon. I mean, yeah, all those accusations are true. I am the pastor. I do use religious jargon. But if you're suspicious that that jargon is empty, it's not. It's not. That is actually the answer. The answer really is the work of prayer. Do you take seriously prayer requests? The second somebody in a grocery store finds out I'm a pastor, one of two things happens. Conversation ends, or they hand me monkeys to carry, burdens to bear. And they say, pray for me, pastor, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like attuning my mind to, oh, is that what we're doing? Okay, all right, try. Can you say that last thing one more time? Oh, I can't say that. All right, listen now. Listen, listen. They're still talking. Listen. You ever been caught in the headlight like that? What about in your text threads? Oh, please pray for me. This is going on. Okay. Please do that more. But also take seriously and actually do the work of praying, of petitioning, of asking the mercies of heaven to pour out upon the person or the circumstance. I'm really challenged. I've been reading Colossians lately, so if Colossians jumps out of my sermons in the near future, that's why. But listen to this from Colossians 4:12. Epaphras was always, hear what Paul says, struggling in prayer. What? Wait, he was just doing prayer, right? Like, oh, Lord, please bless them. All right, done. It's the word struggling that haunts me. I'm happy to introduce you to my haunting in hopes that you would be haunted. Struggling in prayer, not struggling to pray, but doing the battle work, the military activity of praying, of God's people calling on God to bring about things that only God can do. Do you want the stuff that man can do to fill your prayer life? Or do you want to ask God to do in the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, who is applying to me and to you and to everyone who trusts Christ for the enabling work, the nourishing work, the renewing work, the transforming work of removing our burdens because they belong on Christ. And they belong to Christ. They're not his. Because he's guilty. They're not his because he failed. Who among you would say, Jesus, you're the reason I sin? Not one of us would say that. But do we agree that our sin belongs to him, that our circumstances belong to him, that he is truly, eternally sovereign and providentially merciful to us? And out of that knowledge, do we then act in the work of prayer, struggling in prayer, so that we can come alongside one another and wrestle with God together? Who else would we speak to but the one who invites us to place upon him our labors and the heavy laden work of our lives in order to receive from him promised rest? Is that weird that you work in prayer in order to receive God's rest? So you're rested and restful, or maybe rest-filled, as you give your eyes heavenly sight instead of earthly sight. How do we do this? We bring our burdens to the Lord. Was it not Peter who said to Jesus in response to his question, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. You have the words of eternal life. We need to bear one another's burdens with God's word, not our strength and wisdom, not our philosophy or experience. We want to say with the psalmist in Psalm 94, when the cares of my heart are many, your consolations cheer my soul. And how we need our souls to be made cheery. Or with the psalmist in Psalm 119, my soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word. I cannot carry your burdens alone. I cannot carry them indefinitely. And my words will not sustain you. They're not powerful enough, so they can never be sufficient. And that's not just true of me in the pulpit. That's true of you in this life, because it's true of me in this life. You need words from outside this world. You need help from someone outside this world, beyond its corruptions and beyond its understanding. So we bear one another's burdens by carrying them to Christ, because he alone is not weak. He alone does not grow weary of carrying our burdens. Years ago, Brent showed me this verse, and I run to it in times of deep burden. Psalm 121, verses 1 and 2. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. John Piper says this. He says, helping fellow believers carry the weight of their worldly troubles is one of the chief practical duties that ought to consume every Christian. Give it again. Helping fellow believers carry the weight of their worldly troubles is one of the chief practical duties that ought to consume every Christian. You guys feel like the world is getting relationally colder? You feel like there's this movement to be impersonal in the world. And there's lots of ways we might see this or blame this. We live looking at a flat screen instead of a cheery face. We give our time and our focus to things that are temporary. We attack nameless and faceless people who hold thoughts that we don't like or we understand. I really do believe that there is a dangerously cold and impersonal interaction happening around the world, and that we're losing sight of our common humanity. And the people around us are burdens. If you don't think I'm right, how patient are you in traffic? How glad are you that someone else is enjoying the road, getting where they need to go to do the things they need to do? Or are they a burden in an improper sense? Are you letting your heart cool and crusty because the people around you are so hard to manage that you wish they were gone? Gone from your view, gone from your aid, just gone. In Galatians 5:14, Paul reminds us that the whole law, that's the moral law, is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how is it that love best manifests? We're told here by by bearing one another's burdens. That is how we fulfill this law of Christ, this law of love, this law of self-denial and participation in the rescue plan of God. When Paul suggests that burden-bearing fulfills the law of Christ, he makes it clear that he has this whole moral law in view. Every act of compassion and self-sacrifice on behalf of our brethren is a practical means of displaying the love of Christ we cherish so much, and thereby fulfill the moral demands of the law, not unto salvation, but in our sanctification. Do you want to fulfill the moral requirements of the law? Love your neighbor. And be careful if you ask, who's my neighbor? Jesus has a good story for you. So how do you love them? You bear their burdens. You bear their burdens alongside them, with them, for them. It's interesting to me that Paul would emphasize this theme in a letter written to confront people who were falling into religious legalism. You might not see the connection. I know I didn't for years. But it's as if he's saying to them, you want to observe religious laws? Okay. Observe the law of Christ. You who want to be pious, prove your valor in the arena of spiritual life, great. Carry the burdens of others as an expression of the law of Christ. If you have to impose burdens on yourselves, this is Paul talking to those he's correcting, let it be through acts of love to your neighbor. And I would add, I dare you. I dare you. Because either you will lack the strength, you will lack the commitment, the emotional, physical fortitude to continue this endeavor and therefore come to Christ and receive his rest. So it's fascinating to me that for people who are struggling with their ability to obey the law as a source of righteousness, he dares them to follow Christ, obey his law of love, and find how quickly you fall short and need the one whose law you are attempting to follow. Last thought. What's the theological witness of this text? It's that self-reliance, self-sufficiency are a facade that fuels pride. Stop trying to be God. Trust God. If it seems easy for you to help a person bear the burden of sickness or unemployment or the loss of a loved one, loneliness, rejection, but it's too hard for you to bear the burden of confronting a person because of sin, yours or theirs, meditate on this thought. A sinful attitude or a sinful habit is far more harmful to someone you love than any of those other burdens can be. If we really care about a person's ultimate welfare, we will confront them with their sin and welcome their confrontation of ours, where we generously give and humbly receive forgiveness and fellowship. Amen. Let's pray. Father, forgive us for the pride of our hearts that keeps us from meekly and lovingly admonishing and restoring each other as we sin. Heavenly Father, transform our church here at By Grace and your church universal. Help us to be people whose hatred of sin and love for sinners creates a community not just of purity, but also of honesty, one not just of peace, but partnership, and one overflowing with joy. Come and give us of yourself such that the burdens of all forms, spiritual, emotional, relational, and physical, are carried and presented and brought to you and left in your keeping. Would you do that in the name of Jesus Christ? And all God's people agree.